ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय बुद्धवे श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनीति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी अष्टाध्यादेशधारिणे श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य भवनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासवि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. It is a great honor, privilege and pleasure to be here in this beautiful new temple on this most auspicious occasion with all of you. We have heard a most beautiful description of Srimati Radharani's exalted position, and I would say that the lecture was perfect and complete. During the course of it, different thoughts passed through my mind of things that should be said, and by the end of the talk, His Holiness Raghunath Swami had said every one of them. So I cannot say anything that has not already been said. But I will try to perhaps amplify or elaborate upon some of those points. And I would like to read a verse and purport from Srila Prabhupada, from Srimad Bhagavatam, in which he discusses how we can approach the service of Sri Radha and Krishna. This is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 3, Text 23. I'll just read through the Sanskrit and skip the responsive reading. But still, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Chavo Bhagavatam Grirenum Nacha Tumartyo Vilapetayastu Sri Vishnu Padya Manujastu Lasya Swasan Chavoyas Tuna Veda Gandam. Jivanchavo bhagavatam grirenu na jatu martyo bilabeta yastu Shri Vishnu padya manujastu lasya Svasanchavo yastu na veda gandham. Translation. The person who has not at any time received the dust of the feet of the Lord's pure devotee upon his head is certainly a dead body. And the person who has never experienced the aroma of the tulsi leaves from the lotus feet of the Lord is also a dead body, although breathing. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, the breathing dead body is a ghost. How many of you believe in the existence of ghosts? Well, we will explain a little about ghosts. When a man dies, he is called dead. But when he again appears in a subtle form, not visible to our present vision, and yet acts, such a dead body is called a ghost. So, according to the Bhagavad Gita, we have a gross body composed of the five gross elements, and we have a subtle body composed of the three subtle elements, mind, intelligence, and false ego. And then beyond both the gross and subtle body is the soul. Now, when the soul leaves the body, it leaves behind the gross body. And it is carried by the subtle body into its next body. And one acquires one's next body according to one's activities in life and thoughts at the time of death, or, in other words, according to one's desire. Because Krishna is kind and he fulfills. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Now, it may be that someone, one of the common ways, is everyone able to hear?
Yes.
One of the common ways of getting a ghost's body is to commit suicide. Committing suicide means you don't want a gross body anymore. So Krishna will fulfill your desire and give you, free you from a gross body. But generally, people commit suicide because they have material desires that are unfulfilled or frustrated, and therefore, out of disappointment, they take their lives. So Krishna will fulfill their desire and relieve them of a gross physical body. But they keep the subtle body. Subtle body always remains. And the person has material desires, which he or she or it cannot fulfill without a gross body. So that ghost will try to get possession of someone who has a gross body and try to fulfill its desires through the senses of that person. Ghosts are always very bad elements, always creating a fearful situation for others. Similarly, the ghost-like non-devotees who have no respect for the pure devotees, nor for the Vishnu deity in the temples, create a fearful situation for the devotees at all times. The Lord never accepts any offerings by such impure ghosts. There is a common saying that one should first love the dog of the beloved before one shows any loving sentiments for the beloved. The stage of pure devotion is attained by sincerely serving a pure devotee of the Lord. The first condition of devotional service to the Lord is therefore to be a servant of a pure devotee. And this condition is fulfilled by the statement, reception of the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee, who has also served another pure devotee. So this is the secret of spiritual advancement that's described here. Yes, Bhagavatamri Renu, the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee. Now, what is the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee? Of course, it could be the physical dust. That is also a very powerful substance. But generally, receiving the dust of the lotus feet of the pure devotee means Shishirada Shamsundar Ki. It means to hear from him and follow his instructions. And that pure devotee in turn has heard from his spiritual master or spiritual masters and followed his instructions. And this is the way of Parampara. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Mahatmanas tu mam partha divin prakriti ashrita. The great souls, the Mahatmas, are under the protection of the divine energy. And that divine energy is Srimati Radharani. but they are under the divine energy through the cyclic succession. Parampara. Maharaj Rahugana inquired from the great saint Jug Bharat as to how he had attained such a liberated stage of Paramahamsa. And in answer, the great saint replied as follows. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.12.12. Rahuganaita tapasanayati na chejaya nirvapana grihadva na chan dasa naiva jalani suryar vina mahatadaratro vishekam. O King Rahugana, the perfectional stage of devotional service, or the Paramahansa stage of life, cannot be attained unless one is blessed by the dust of the feet of great devotees. In other words, Lord Sri Krishna is the property of his pure, unalloyed devotees, and as such, only the devotees can deliver Krishna to another devotee. Krishna is never obtainable directly. Srila Prabhupada illustrated this point in a very graphic and dramatic way. In 1971, we arranged a program for Srila Prabhupada in Madras for all of the high court judges and advocates. And afterwards, the Chief Justice of the High Court invited Srila Prabhupada to his home. He was very interested in Krishna consciousness and actually asked to become a disciple of Srila Prabhupada's. So at his home, he presented Srila Prabhupada with a little silver statue of Lord Krishna. And at the end of his talk, earlier Srila Prabhupada had quoted the prayers to the six Goswamis that the six Goswamis had kicked off all aristocracy to join the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Srila Prabhupada was appealing to all of these leaders of society, Mandalapati, that they should also do that. So at the Chief Justice's home, Srila Prabhupada held this little figurine of Krishna in front of a three-year-old daughter of Shamsundar and Malati. That little girl was named Saraswati. And it was a very, you know, it was Krishna, and it was a very attractive silver figure. So he held this figure in front of Saraswati, little girl, and he said, "Who is this?" And she said, "Krishna." And then Srila Prabhupada took that statue and hid it behind his back. And he said, "Saraswati, where is Krishna?" And suddenly she was like panicked. Like she couldn't find Krishna. She was looking everywhere. Her eyes were darting everywhere. And she was like moving around. And she couldn't find Krishna. And then again, you know, because she's just a little child and her mind might have started to wander,
Again, Srila Prabhupada said, where is Krishna? And again, she was filled with anxiety. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? She was looking and she couldn't find Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada did it a third time and the same thing happened. And then her mother, Malati Dasi, gave her a hint. And she said, Saraswati, who has Krishna? And immediately Saraswati's face lit up in recognition and her eyes opened wide and she said, Prabhupada has Krishna. and as soon as she said, Prabhupada has Krishna, Srila Prabhupada took the little figure of Krishna out from behind his back and held it in front of Saraswati. Now this demonstrated a very profound point. In fact, it's the point we just read, that Krishna is the property of his unalloyed devotees and they have the power to deliver Krishna. But we have to be so anxious for Krishna. Saraswati was really anxious for Krishna. And she forgot everything else. Just where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? So when we develop that mood of separation and anxiety for Krishna, and please the pure devotee through our service, through disciplic succession, he can deliver Krishna. So, Sri Krishna is the property of his pure, unconditional devotees. And as such, only the devotees can deliver Krishna to another devotee. Krishna is never obtainable directly. Lord Chaitanya therefore designated himself as Gopi Bhartu Padakamalayor Dasa Dasa Anudasa, or the most obedient servant of the servants of the Lord who maintains the Gopi damsels at Vrindavan. A pure devotee therefore never approaches the Lord directly, but tries to please the servant of the Lord's servants. And thus the Lord becomes pleased. And only then can the devotee relish the taste of the tulsi leaves stuck to the Lord's lotus feet. In the Brahma Samhita, it is said that the Lord is never to be found by becoming a great scholar of the Vedic literatures, but he is very easily approachable through his pure devotee. And who is the greatest devotee of Lord Krishna? Yes. Yes. In Vrindavan, all the pure devotees pray for the mercy of Srimati Radharani, the pleasure potency of Lord Krishna. Srimati Radharani is the tender-hearted feminine counterpart of the Supreme Whole, resembling the perfectional stage of the worldly feminine nature. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami enumerates 64 qualities of Krishna, and one of his qualities is compassionate. And he says that Srimati Radharani actually represents the compassionate nature of Krishna. That Krishna is very difficult to approach, and therefore devotees approach him through his compassionate manifestation as Srimati Radharani. Therefore, the mercy of Radharani is available very readily to the sincere devotees. And once she recommends such a devotee to Lord Krishna, the Lord at once accepts the devotee's admittance into his association. Yes, Radharani, because of her deep love for Krishna, Mahabhava, she sees everyone is a better servant of Krishna than she is. And therefore she's always trying to push other devotees to Krishna. And she always recommends other devotees to Krishna. This is a better devotee than I am. And when Radharani recommends a devotee to Krishna, Krishna is bound to accept the devotee. Because, as it is said in Varshana, whatever Radha does, Krishna likes. And whatever Radha likes, Krishna does. So if Radha likes that Krishna should accept someone, Krishna will do it. The conclusion is, therefore, that one should be more serious about seeking the mercy of the devotee than that of the Lord directly. And by one's doing so, by the goodwill of the devotee, the natural attraction for the service of the Lord will be revived. So, in the few minutes remaining, I will relate an incident with Srila Prabhupada in Calcutta, which pertains to this very important verse from Swarup Damodar Goswami, which appears within the first six verses of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, at the time, the devotees were living in a house in South Calcutta called Ray Castle. And that house is still there. It's been very much improved since the early days with Srila Prabhupada. And one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, Achyutananda Swami, happened to meet the landlord, Mr. Singh Roy. And Mr. Singh Roy had his own theories. Many people have their own theories about spiritual life, and he was one of them. So he must have thought, we're like young Americans, we don't really know much. And so he sought to, enlighten Achyutananda Swami. And he told him that actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes first. And from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu come Radha and Krishna. And he also said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is greater than Radha and Krishna. And he compared Radha and Krishna to milk and sugar. And he said that Rasagula is greater than milk and sugar. So this was his presentation. So Achyutananda Swami brought this information to Srila Prabhupada, and a few of us were in the room. And he repeated Mr. Singh Roy's explanation. So he asked, so who actually comes first? And Srila Prabhupada said, actually, Radha and Krishna come first. He said the same example. First, milk and sugar exist separately, and then they combine to form Rasgulla. And then Achyutananda Swami asked, well, then, you know, who's the greatest? And then Srila Prabhupada looked down for a moment and paused, and then he looked up and said, Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani is the greatest. And he pointed to a picture of Srimati Radharani sitting like in an elevated position, and Krishna sort of kneeling at her feet, you know, begging for her favor. And Srila Prabhupada said, Radharani is the greatest. Then he pointed to a picture of Nanda Maharaj carrying Krishna's slippers on his head. And then he said, Nanda Maharaj is the greatest. And then he said, the devotee is the greatest. Because, as we heard, Krishna is conquered by the pure love of the devotee. So this is a lesson for all of us, that if we become pure devotees by the approved method of receiving the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee, or becoming a humble servant of a pure devotee who's a servant of the servants of the servants of the servant, we can come to that position. As Srila Prabhupada criticized the Mayavadi impersonalists who want to become with God, one with God, he said, you know, why should we want to become one with God? We can become greater than God. In the sense that by our pure loving service, God will happily agree to accept a position of subordination to that love. And that love is ultimately a manifestation of Srimati Radharani's love. So Srila Prabhupada has come to give us a great treasure. He took so much trouble, as we've been remembering and discussing, you know, leaving India at such an advanced age and suffering in so many ways on the Jaladuta, and then even after arriving in America. But he did it because he had this great treasure within his heart, and he wanted to share it with us. There are many, you know, one might ask, some of my godbrothers have also raised the question, why should Srila Prabhupada take so much trouble? And, you know, there are many other, you know, sort of religious traditions, spiritual traditions, and they have many of the same truths within them that we have within our tradition. So given that fact, why should Srila Prabhupada risk his life? And the answer is that although they and we share many of the same principles, but the one thing that Srila Prabhupada brought that was not there before was this sublime love by which, that is so pure and so powerful that Krishna is conquered by it. He wants to be conquered by it, and he relishes being conquered by it. So this is really a priceless treasure that Srila Prabhupada has brought on behalf of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and our Guru Parampara. And we may think, of course, many of you are very cultured compared to us at the time when Srila Prabhupada arrived. One very nice devotee in Mumbai, Krishna Chandra Das, once told me that he felt that every devotee should see the old films of Srila Prabhupada in New York and San Francisco. And because Krishna Chandra Prabhu said, you cannot imagine the type of people that he was dealing with. I mean, you can't imagine it. Even if you see the movie, you'll get a sense, but even then you may not get the full significance of who Srila Prabhupada was dealing with. So this raises a question that how could Srila Prabhupada give such a precious gift or offer such a precious gift to such degraded people? I mean, I'm saying people to be polite. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a very beautiful example. And he compares Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the same would apply to his representatives, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is like a king. And that king is intoxicated. In the case of Mahaprabhu, he's intoxicated with love for Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani. And that king, in his intoxicated state, goes into his treasure house and he gathers up the most precious gems that he has in his treasury. And he goes out onto the street and just indiscriminately gives them away to the beggars and riffraff on the street. But he's the king. He's the proprietor of those gems. And he can give them to whomever he wants. No one can question him and no one can stop him. So this is after Srimati Radharani's mood, Srimati Radharani's love, adopted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And brought to us by Srila Prabhupada, or through Srila Prabhupada, and so we should recognize what a wonderful opportunity we have been given, what a invaluable treasure, and accept it gratefully, cherish it, and share it with others. To our capacity. Thank you very much.